This reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, and can be found on page 744 in our church Bibles. Isaiah, chapter 58, starting to read at verse 1. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commandments of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yes, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry, and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? And when you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." This is the word of the Lord.
We'll have now our second reading. Rich is going to do it.
The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, and can be found on page 969 of the church Bibles. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. It's a joy to be here again. So as we turn to these words, let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, whether speaking or listening, I pray that we may receive a new insight into these your words. Amen. Well, the gospel reading today addresses two rather fundamental questions of life. Who are we, and what are we to do? Many of us have these questions on our minds now as we face this sort of new reality which we see in the world. It's an uncertain world. But it's similar to the situation that Matthew's congregation were facing 2,000 years ago. Just remember, Matthew lived in a time of religious and social tension. Jerusalem, and particularly the temple, had recently been destroyed when he was writing this. The Jewish community was in conflict. They were arguing about the future of Judaism. They were wondering what it meant to be, what it meant to be Jewish. And I think we can see Christian churches are arguing about similar things today. Many values and practices from previous generations are being questioned. Some of them are being abandoned. Congregations in our traditional churches are getting smaller. Various denominations are losing social power. They're losing influence. And we wonder who we are, and we wonder what we are to do. And this passage, right at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's telling his unsophisticated, uneducated band of followers how they can take on the task of spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. But he does this not by sort of inspiring them to be like soldiers and raise an army. He's not telling them to become politicians or great leaders. Instead, they are to be something as small as the light of a candle or as a pinch of salt. They are the light of the world, and that is the light that should not be hidden, but seen. We often interpret this to mean that we are not to hide our gifts or our talents by placing them under this metaphorical bucket. Those of us familiar with the Book of Common Prayer remember the offertory sentence, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good work and glorify your Father who is in heaven." However, there is another reason for the light to shine. There is darkness in life, both external and internal. And Jesus encourages his followers to bring light to a dark and broken world. The light is the light of the gospel, and it draws all people to its warmth and radiance. From the very beginning, throughout every age, this has been one of the main missions of the church. In order for the light to be seen, we must be willing to go where the darkness exists, to engage and walk through it so that in time the light can overcome it. In my lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen the Christian church so divided. I was reading an article in the Washington Post yesterday which was headed, "The Religious Right Understood Trump Perfectly. He's now delivering for them." We can feel overawed by the great political tidal wave of change which has overwhelmed the US and also threatens our own country. How should we respond to this? Well, our Old Testament reading from Isaiah is very clear. As Jane read to us just now, "Shout it out, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sins." One of the people I read most weeks is a professor of theology in America. And she was writing this week that for the very first time in her life, at the age of 50-something, I think, she took part in a protest march. Caroline Lewis went on the Women's March. She writes this: "If you want to know what it looked like lately to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, Google Women's March of January 21st. Regardless of your opinions, observations, or objections, this was a testament and an embodiment of what you do when you truly believe that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You just do it. You don't debate it. You don't second guess it. You don't wonder about it. You just go and do it." And that's Jesus' point. Jesus doesn't say, "Think about it." He doesn't say, "You will be, you may be, or try to be." No, you are. You are salt and light. Period. So how does that leave us? Do we go out marching? Do we go out protesting? We're small people caught up in this. But we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. It's one thing to know and claim our identity as Christians, but it's entirely another thing to live it. But that's what we have to do. Whether it will be joining the millions of others who speak out, or maybe it'll just be quietly being a small light in someone's life. But that is what we are commissioned to do. If we move on through this Matthew passage, we see that Jesus is also very critical of the Pharisees. Not surprising, and frequently happens. But in this case, he says that they study the laws and claim to have knowledge of God, but they don't put it into action. Knowledge without action is holding back the kingdom of heaven. It's knowledge without a purpose. And if we're not careful, that can be what our sermons can sound like. That can be what our churches sound like. We just have to be careful and realise that we have a lot of information about Jesus and about God and about the Holy Spirit to share. But that's as far as it goes. We tend to amass information for information's sake, and not for the sake that the difference that it actually might make to people's lives. In this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reminds us that knowledge about God cannot exist simply as knowledge. Knowledge about God, theology, is God's very presence in the world. And it's not enough to know about God. As disciples, we have to be the activity of God in the world. We are called to live out our identity as salt and light. What Jesus needs from us is a morality that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Notice, for instance, that Jesus doesn't give the disciples instructions on how to become salt and light. Instead, he just tells them that that's what they are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And we see here that Jesus actually commissions them, not commands them, he commissions them to be that salt and light, to be persons that they have been called to be, to season and preserve the world, and to let their light shine so that others will see their good works. Well, could we do the same? Well, yes, I think we could. I think we do. Every day I see people shining their light. It needn't necessarily be with large gestures in speaking out against what we see as unjust. It doesn't have to be in big, dramatic ways like marching or protesting. It can also be in simple, small ways that stand out in this dark world. And we can all think of ways that we have seen ordinary people sharing that light of Christ. We have seen them adding that distinctive flavour to people's lives. And so here's a question. What's burning inside you that you feel you should share? What gift have you been given that might contribute to the welfare of our community or the world? I think we need to find ways to connect the gifts and the passions that we have to the needs of our communities. I think we should think creatively about how to connect people with each other, how to match up the gifts that we have here in this congregation with the needs of our larger community. Who knows what it could be? A mentor in the local school? What about helping the preschool group, you know, the children in Smarties? What about work as a volunteer, as a visitor for people, young people who are in care? There's an organisation, NIAS, which is saying that there are 57 children in care in this area who don't have a mentor. They don't have a visitor, an independent visitor. Are there other ways that we can extend Christian care to those inside and outside this congregation, or even this community? Give them someone to listen to. Give them someone who cares for them. Give them someone who loves them. Jesus called us salt and light. And that's where we are. We are the salt and light in the world. Let us encourage each other. Let us commission each other. And let us go out shining that light into people's lives, connecting together with each other. And I close with a prayer that many of you will probably know, but it's the prayer of Saint Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body on earth but ours. No hands but ours. No feet but ours. Ours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ must look out on the world. Ours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Ours are the hands with which he is to bless his people. Amen.